Tonight's lesson is kind of a companion lesson to a lesson that we had a few weeks ago. And so the introduction to this lesson is going to sound rather familiar, at least familiar to how we introduced a lesson a few weeks ago. So let me ask you a question. If you were going to raise the very best athlete that you could, you knew that you were going to be the parent, and you wanted to raise up, you just wanted to raise up the very best athlete that you could. And if you could hand pick who his father would be to help to train him to be the very best athlete that he could, who would you choose? Now, don't look at me. Don't say Dave. I know you're thinking me, but I mean, you think outside the box for a minute. Don't just think the obvious here. But who would you choose to say, no, this is the father that I want to raise, the very best athlete? What if you were going to raise, and you said, you know what, I want to raise a son so I never have to take my car to the mechanic ever again. I don't trust those guys. They overcharge. So I want to raise a son who can work on my car and be the best mechanic and do it for free for the rest of my life. Well, who would you want to be his dad? If you could handpick his dad and say, that's the man that I want to raise my son who's going to be the mechanic. What if you could handpick him? Who would you choose? Now, all of that is rather flippant, but if you could choose the man who would raise the Son of God, if you could decide this man is going to be the father, not the biological father, we know, but he's going to be the earthly father who's going to raise the Son of God, who would you choose? If you knew that you needed someone who could prepare this young man to become a man and to be tempted by the devil but not give in to the devil, who would you choose to raise him? What kind of man would you choose to raise him? You're going to raise this young man who's going to become a man, and you want him when he's tempted to be able to quote those verses back to the devil and to resist the devil at every turn. Who would you choose? Well, you know the Bible, and so you know the answer to that. But I want you to know that God could have chosen any man that he wanted to choose. A few weeks ago when we were talking with those same questions about the woman, about the mother, God hand chose Mary. It wasn't random. It wasn't pick a name out of a hat. God chose Mary. And I believe with all of my heart that God chose Joseph to be the man, the earthly father, to raise a young man who was the Son of God. And so tonight I want you to get your Bibles out and go to Matthew chapter 1. And I want us to spend some time in Matthew chapter 1 looking at this godly man that God chose. A few weeks ago we looked at a godly woman named Mary, and I suppose that some of our men may have said, well, this is all about women. And even in those points that we talked about with Mary, there were a lot of points that applied to all of us, weren't there? Same thing tonight. This is going to apply especially to our men. And maybe you're a mom or a dad who's trying to raise a young man. Maybe you're a grandmother or a grandfather who has quite an influence in the raising of a young man. Maybe you are a young lady, maybe not so young lady, who's looking for an individual, a man to spend some time with in your life. What kind of man does God consider a godly man? What kind of man would make a good husband? What kind of man would make a great father? I want us to look at some things about Joseph in Matthew chapter 1. This is the same point we made about Mary, but I cannot help but make it about Joseph as well. Joseph was a man of purity. He's a man of purity. Look in verse 18. Verse 18, we're told about Joseph in this verse, and after it was the birth of Jesus, and as follows, after his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph. We don't understand fully, and because we don't practice the same thing about this betrothal, but she was betrothed to Joseph, but look at what else it says. But before they came together. They were betrothed, but they had not come together yet. Come together is not just you come and you live in the same place and now you have the same mailbox and you have the same address. This has more than just that, and you understand that. This was before they came together sexually. And God has a plan in mind for this young couple. But they're betrothed to each other. And this is not the same thing as what we think of as a guy and a gal being engaged to each other. It's very different than that. The Jewish betrothal period lasted anywhere from about 10 to 12 months. But when they were betrothed to each other, they were considered. Look in verse 19. What is he called in verse 19? Then Joseph her, what? In verse 19, her husband. Look down in verse 20, where it says, don't be afraid to take to you, marry your, what? Your wife. This is terminology. It says they're betrothed, but they are already together. They're already bound to each other legally. They're already bound to one another. They haven't come together sexually yet. They haven't consummated this marriage yet, but they are married. And Joseph was mindful to put her away. Put her away, what is that? It's the same Greek word you have over in Matthew chapter 9. When they came and asked Jesus, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any reason? Same word divorce as the word put away. In some translations of Matthew 19 verse 3 are going to have the word put away there because it's the same concept. What do you mean put her away? Because that was the Jewish system under which they lived. And before they came together, think about that. Wait, no. We're husband and wife. We're husband and wife. And as husband and wife, we've got a right to do. Well, we've got a right to be together. We've got a right. No, well, not during the betrothal period. You don't. Joseph was a man of purity. He was a man who respected God's design for marriage. He was a man who respected God's design for sex inside of marriage. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 4, it says that marriage is to be held in honor among who? Do you know what the Bible says there? It doesn't just say marriage is to be held in honor among Christians. Well, it better be, but that's not what it says. Marriage is to be held in honor among all. Joseph respected what God had in mind. And the bed undefiled, that verse continues. Joseph respected that. Joseph respected what God said about the fact that he was to resist those temptations. He respected what God said about keeping himself pure, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 22. He respected what God had wanted him to understand about fleeing sexual immorality and abstaining from those fleshly lusts that war against the soul and testing all things, but then abstaining from every... I like the old King James in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 22. The old King James doesn't just say that abstain from every form of evil. And that's the better translation, every form of evil. Every evil, every form that evil has. But I like how the old King James says to abstain from the appearance of evil. You ever wonder if something's evil, if it's wrong or right? You ever wonder if something's evil or not? Well, you know what? If it looks bad, get away from it. What business does a Christian have in being around? Well, you know, this could be okay. This might not be okay. Even the appearance of evil, every form of evil, stay away from it. Here's a man that God looked down in time. What kind of man do I want to be the earthly father to raise the Son of God? I want him to be a man of purity. Can I ask you a question tonight? We know it's not going to happen because it's already happened. But if God was looking down tonight in 2025 and said, I need to find a man who's going to raise the Son of God and he needs to be a man of purity. Gentlemen, would he observe the Passover when he came to you? Or would he put you on the short list and say, you know what? I've got my eye on him. God wants us to be men of purity. Number two, and these aren't going to rhyme. These aren't going to start with the same letter. I gave that up as I was preparing this lesson, although these first two kind of fit together. He was a man of integrity. He was a man of integrity. Look in verse 19. Joseph, her husband, how is he described here? He was a just man. Maybe your Bible has the word upright. Maybe your Bible has the word righteous. What does that mean? He was a man who lived by standards. Whose standards? Not the world's. He was a man who lived by God's standards. He was a just, upright man who wanted to do what God wanted him to do. Well, guess what? If Mary was found to be with child, she had committed adultery. In Deuteronomy chapter 22, guess what the penalty was for Mary? She was to be stoned. She was to be put to death. Now this is weighing on Joseph. And yet Joseph knew two chapters later, in Deuteronomy chapter 24, Jesus would say that Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, Moses had put in this thing in Deuteronomy chapter 24 that, well, but I could put her away. But under that Jewish system, what the traditions they had created around this putting away is that the putting away was to be done, but it was to be done in the presence of two or three witnesses. Imagine being Joseph. It says that he was mindful to put her away privately. He did not want to make a, what does it say? He did not want to make a public example of her. Colossians chapter 2 uses this same phrase. It talks about Jesus making a public spectacle. In Colossians 2 and verse 15, when he died on the cross, he made a public spectacle of the rulers at that time. Joseph didn't want to do that with Mary. He didn't want to parade her in front of those two or three witnesses. The Jewish historian Josephus, you've heard his name before. Jewish historian Josephus, he said that during that time, that the man in this situation, Joseph in this situation, that he would have been, this is not Old Testament law, it's Jewish tradition, that the man in this situation would have been obligated to parade her, not in front of two or three witnesses, but to parade her out in front of the Jews themselves and make her a public spectacle to say, look at what she has done. Remember what those men did in John chapter 8? The woman who was caught in adultery, what'd they do? Well, Jewish law says you stone her. But what'd they do? They drug her and made her a public spectacle. Joseph, he's a man of integrity. He's not willing to follow the Jewish tradition of the day, but yet here's a man who he believed he had been wronged. He knew the child was not his. And here's her. Here's his betrothed, who's with child, and it's not mine. Here's a man who's believed he'd been wronged, and yet, what does he think about Mary? He's still respectful towards her. Have you ever been wronged by somebody, or you believed you were? Maybe you really weren't wrong, but you believed that you were wrong, and boy, you were going to let them have. Remember what Jesus said? Whoever slaps you on the cheek, you wind up and you get ready and say, I'm going to, right? I mean, that's what Jesus says. You give them the other one. Whoever compels you to go 1 mile with them, not going any further. I was kicking and screaming all the way and I'm not giving you any more. What does Jesus say to do? Yeah, you go with them too. You ever been wronged? You ever thought you were wronged? How did you respond? Were you a man of integrity? Here's Joseph, who is not really focused on himself so much as he was on Mary. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. She's done me wrong. She's done me wrong, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others. Even somebody who's done me wrong, let each esteem others better than himself. The verse that's on the screen, you'll see from Hosea chapter 6, is not just a New Testament verse. Jesus quotes it in passages like Matthew chapter 12. I don't think I have Matthew 12 and verse 7 on the screen. But Jesus quoted Hosea 6 and verse 6 in passages like Matthew 12 and verse 7, where the Bible says God desires mercy. Sometimes we have the young men read from Psalms at the beginning of worship. And one of the psalms that we have in the mix that they read is Psalm 136. But we don't have them read all 26 verses of it, because even a young man up here might get kind of embarrassed, or he might get kind of giddy or silly when he's reading the same thing over and over in all 26 verses. But do you know what Psalm 136 says in all 26 verses? The mercy of the Lord endures forever. You think Joseph knew that psalm? The Lord desires mercy. And even if I've been wronged, what kind of man do I need to be? I need to be a man of integrity. I need to be a man who's respectful. I need to be a man who's looking out for others, even above myself, even if they have wronged me. Number three, look in verse 20. He's a man of discipline in verse 20. What do we learn about Joseph? I love the first part of verse 20. But while he thought about these things. Guys, we could learn a lot just from those words. While he thought. See, we don't take time to think sometimes, do we? We just react to what's happening. While he thought about here's a woman that he loved. And he thought that he had been wronged by this woman. And yet he loved her, and his love is overshadowing everything else. And it would have been really easy for any man in this situation to react quickly. Maybe he knew Proverbs 21 and verse 5. Maybe he knew that Proverbs 21 and verse 5 draws a contrast, as many of the Proverbs do, between somebody who is diligent in their efforts and somebody who is hasty. And there's a difference, isn't there? Somebody who's diligent and thinks through things is different from somebody who's hasty and just reacts. There's a difference, isn't there? Do you know some people who have a fuse that's really long, and then some people that you can barely see their fuse because it's so short? Here was a man who was he was thinking through this. He was not... And I have to believe it wasn't just his actions and not just his decision-making process. I have to believe it was in his words too. We don't know this because the Bible doesn't tell us. But do you picture Joseph when he learns this going to Mary's? What did you do? How could you do this to me? What's wrong with you? Reacting maybe the way some of us do today. When something's happened, the book of Proverbs talks about a man who's hasty in his words. It asks in the form of a question. Proverbs 29 and verse 20. Do you see a man hasty in his words? Yeah, I say there's more hope for a fool than for him. James 1 and verse 19, what does it say? Let every man be quick to hear. You better be slow to speak. And when you're quick to hear and slow to speak, it'll help you be slow to wrath. Think about Joseph. His love was patient. His love was kind. His love was not rude. Think about Joseph. His love was bearing all things, believing all things, hoping all things. He had been wronged, at least he thought he had, but he was enduring all things. Here was a man that maybe was hoping against hope. He was hoping all things. Here was a man who was maybe giving her the benefit of the doubt. Maybe there's got to be some explanation in here somewhere. And instead of acting hastily, here was a man of discipline. And when the angel of the Lord came to him in verse 20, it does not say the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, Joseph, son of David. He didn't say, no, I don't have time for you. I'm not going to listen to you. I've got some business to go take care of with this woman, and I'm going to go take care of this business with her, and then I'll... He paused long enough to take some time to spend with God. Was that a wise move on his part? If any of you lacks wisdom, James 1 and verse 5. Any of you facing a difficult situation. Somebody's facing a decision. I don't know what I'm going to do here. They've done this to me, or at least I think they've done this to me. What do I do? If any man lacks wisdom, what does he need to do? You better spend some time with God. Let him ask of God, who gives to all on Sundays. And you better store up on Sundays and save it for the rest of the week. Right? No. who gives to all liberally and without reproach. You're going to be a man of God, a holy man, a godly man. We've got to be men of purity, men of integrity. We've got to be men of discipline. So verses 20, 21, and 22, and 23, the angel's talking. I want you to put yourself in Joseph's position, okay? You have just heard this angel tell you, go ahead and take Mary as your wife. Yeah, but you don't know what she's done. She's pregnant. Yeah, I know what she's done. The end of verse 20, that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. Just be Joseph and let that, just be Joseph. Let that come in. Yeah, right. Yeah, that which, that, what? That's not, that which is, yeah, that's not possible. No, she's pregnant, and there's only one way for that to happen. I went to biology class. I know how that works. That which is in her is of the Holy Spirit. Joseph was a man of faith. And when the angel told him, when God told him where this baby came from, he believed it. Have you read some things in the Bible that are maybe hard to believe? Acts 27 and verse 25. The Apostle Paul is in the middle of the Mediterranean Sea in the midst of a storm, and they couldn't see anything for 14 days. They were throwing everything overboard trying to save themselves. And the Lord comes to him and says, you're going to be saved and nobody on this ship is going to perish. Is that hard to believe? Paul said to the men, I believe it will be just as the Lord has told me. I can't explain it. I don't understand. You think Joseph understood a virgin conception? You think he could explain that to his friends? When his buddies came over, could he say, yeah, well, she's having a baby by the Holy Spirit? Huh? He didn't question it. Do you read him questioning? You say, oh, come on, you're pulling my leg. No, he didn't doubt it. Keep reading in James 1 and verse 5, verse 6. Verse 5, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. Verse 6 says, let him ask in faith with no doubting. When God says something, that settles it. I need to accept it when he says it. When you think about Acts chapter 10, maybe for Peter, it was just as hard for Peter to believe what the angel told him in Acts chapter 10 as it was for Joseph to believe that the angel said in Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1, angel says, Mary's going to have a baby by the Holy Spirit. Huh? Acts chapter 10, the angel tells Peter, go with these men, and I want you to preach the gospel to the Gentiles because they are not unclean in the eyes of God. Everybody is equal in the eyes of God. Huh? No, that's not. What did the angel tell him? Go with these men, doubting nothing. We've got to be people of faith. We've got to be people of faith that believe what the Bible says. When it comes to doctrinal things inside of Scripture, it's not up to us to say, well, I don't really think that that's right. It's not up to us to put our finger on it. Well, I know that's what that verse says, but I just don't believe that's what that verse means. If God said it, He meant it. And so when it comes to these doctrinal matters, we don't need to allow, like the Jews did in Matthew chapter 15, to allow our traditions to get in the way of what the Bible says. We don't need to look for teachers in 2 Timothy chapter 4 who will come and tickle our ears and tell us what we want to hear, but because we're not enduring, 2 Timothy 4 and verse 3, because we're not enduring sound doctrine. Oh, I'm not interested in sound doctrine. I'm not interested in that hard stuff. I'm not interested in the do's and the don'ts and thou shalt's and the thou shalt nots. Mm-mm. If God said it, it's right. I love the last verse of Hosea. Hosea 14 and verse 9, the ways of the Lord are right. Not up to us to question them. Not just the doctrinal matters, the moral issues. We live in a land that's trying to change the standard of morality, trying to change our moral compass. They're getting into our children's heads and trying to change the way they understand truth in the eyes of God when it comes to morality. You know how many children's heads they've gotten into? More than we want to admit. The Bible is never wrong. God's ways are how often? Always right. And so when Romans chapter 1 talks about those things that are not natural in the eyes of God, they weren't natural in Genesis 1, they weren't natural in Romans 1, and they're not natural in the 21st century either. We need to stick with what God says. This isn't just men, obviously, this is all of us, but we need to be men of faith. Final thing I want you to see, verses 24 and 25, is that Joseph was a man of obedience. Look at what verse 24 says. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep. What does it say? Joseph, being aroused from sleep. What's the next word you have in your Bible? Did. He did it. He did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He didn't wait. There was no delay in his obedience. Psalm 119 and verse 60, the Bible says, I made haste and did not delay to keep his commandments. He got up, and what does it say? He did what he was told, and he took to him his wife. Did exactly what God said, without questioning it, without doubting it, but going through with what God told him to do and doing it immediately. Read through your New Testament sometime and look at the word immediately. Read through the book of Acts. When individuals learned in the book of Acts what they needed to do in order to become a Christian, how long did they tarry? Remember what Ananias asked Saul, King James Version? Why tarriest thou? Why are you waiting? When you know what you need to do, go back up to verse 20. While he thought about these things, what am I going to do here? The Lord told him what to do. Did he keep thinking about those things anymore? Nope. He knew what the Lord wanted, and he got up and he did it. And he did it without adding to it. He did it without taking away from what God said. He didn't try to modify and change it. Well, Lord, you know, I want to see how this works out. Lord, I've never heard about this before. This has never happened in all of history. Uh-uh. He took unto him Mary, his wife. Verse 25, he did not know her. He did not have sexual relations with her until she had brought forth her firstborn son. Why was that? Because God told him not to. They're together now. Could he have had relationships with her at this point? God said she is to be a virgin, not just upon conception. She's to be a virgin when she brings forth a son. Here's a man of discipline. Here's a man of faith. Here's a man of self-control. Here's a man of obedience. And he did not claim, well, I've got the right to do this. He wasn't concerned about his rights. He was concerned about, how do I need to obey my God? We've looked at Mary as a godly woman, and I hope the women of this congregation, the young ladies of this congregation, taken those principles we looked at a few weeks ago and applied them, and even the men in those same principles applied them. But gentlemen, young men, parents who are raising boys, we need to be men of purity. Don't let the world sway you. We need to be men of integrity who do not change because somebody thinks or tells us something different than what we know to be right. We need to be men of discipline. I'm not sure about that, but we remain steadfast in what we know to be right. Men of faith, men of obedience. As you look at your life tonight, are you where you need to be in your relationship with the Lord? Joseph heard what he needed to do, and he did it. How long will you wait to do what you need to do? You shall call his name Jesus, verse 21, because he's going to save his people from their sins. Is he your Savior? Do you believe with all of your heart that Jesus is the Son of God? Have you made up your mind? Have you made that decision to stop doing what's wrong, start doing what's right, to repent, turn your life in the direction of God, to make that confession with your mouth, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Have you ever been baptized so that the blood of the Savior can wash away your sins? If you've never done that, you can do it tonight. There's water here, garments here tonight, towels here ready for you to be baptized for the remission of your sins, to be raised to walk a new life as a faithful child of God. If you're not where you need to be in your relationship with the Lord, get right with Him right now as together we stand and sing.